Praise the Lord. Well, as we get into this chapter in Leviticus, this is a hard chapter for many, but it's just more of God's instructions, and it's hard sometimes with the things that the Lord puts down for us to read through, and we get embarrassed by all of these things, and we just can't believe that the world is like this, but this is what sin does. This is what happens when sin reigns, when sin is abounding, and we see it. We think that these things can't happen, but they do happen. And they've happened for years, ever since Satan brought sin into the world. These things have been going on. And it's just hard to look at, hard to imagine with a loving God. And many people ask, if we have a loving God, then why do these things happen? And it's because the prince of the power of the air of this world is bringing those things in. And these are the things that happen when Satan is in control. For those of us that are born again, that are walking in the Spirit, that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, these things shouldn't be part of our lives. And if they are, we need to repent and turn. But if they're not, we still see them around us. But we know that we have a hope outside of this, that we have a hope beyond this, and that we can share that love with those that are around us so that they can have a hope, so they won't have to go through these things or become partakers of these things. But we have a couple different sections that are going on here. In the first section, let's pick up in verse 1, and we'll just start reading about it. In chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." So the Lord continuing to minister to Moses, speaking to his heart. And here's a man who sees all this stuff going on and has to oversee these things, because remember, for the longest time, he was the only judge. He was the one judging all these things and giving responses for 2 million people that were just lined up to get wisdom from him, from the Lord, to see what to do with their lives and what was going on in them. Just can't imagine how awful that could be for him and for everybody else. But he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God." And you're going to see that phrase 5 times just in this chapter. And between this chapter and chapter 19, you're going to see it 20 times. And evidently, the Lord repeating himself, we know he doesn't repeat himself just so he can have more words in the Bible. He repeats himself so that we can learn, so that we can listen. And if God is really our God, then what are our lives going to look like? And certainly they're not going to look like what we see in this chapter. And that's why the warnings are coming, is because he's saying, I'm the Lord your God, and what I want to do in this is just to change you, to make you different than what the world looks like. So he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God." That famous saying, I am that I am, as he talked to Moses. So that's how Moses knows him. He's the great I am. He says, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, you shall not do." Don't do those things. I put you in a place and you saw those things. Don't do them. That's pretty simple, right? How come we don't do it then? Because we have these sinful hearts. We have these sinful ways that just want our own way, that we want to do what we want to do, and it doesn't matter what God says. And for the longest time, each and every one of us lived like that. We didn't care what God said. We just wanted to do what we wanted, what made us feel good, what made us look good, or we thought made us look good, except none of us look good. But we're in that place where we just want our own way, this natural flesh, and that's what it wants. And we can sit there and stomp our feet and throw temper tantrums and do all of those things, but when God says, I don't want you to do it, he means it. He doesn't say those things just to make us throw tantrums. He says those things because he knows what's good for us. Just like we as parents tell our kids, I don't want you doing that. Well, why not? Everybody else is doing it. That doesn't make it right. And sometimes we have to come to that place of just trusting no matter what God says. I don't understand all of what's in Scripture, but I know when God says it, it's right, and I need to obey it. I need to listen to it. No matter how my feelings get in the way or my emotions get in the way, I got to put those aside and just trust his word, because that's the only way I'm going to have a real life, because that's what he's given us. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He gives life. The enemy brings death. And we want life. well, Lord, how do I get that life? And he says, obey me, because there's blessings in obedience. So he says, after the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt, you were there, you were in that place, don't do those things. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. So I brought you out of a place, and you were in slavery in that place. I've brought you into a place now where I've made you free, and I'm bringing you into a new land. There's going to be practices, there's going to be things in that land, but I don't want you doing those. And now that we're saved, he says, you're in this wilderness wandering, you're in this place where you're walking in now for you and I. We're just waiting for heaven. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're not looking for New York City. We're not looking for London. We're not looking for Paris. Wonderful cities, great to visit. Don't want to live there. Don't want to be there. I want to be home, because that's what's right. All the cities that we see are man-run, and they're full of sin. Oh, Lord, I want to see yours. And that's what he tells us. Do the things that I'm showing you, because you'll have a better life. Oh. And we can either have a better life or a bitter life. It's up to us. It's our choices. Lord, help me to choose rightly. Help me to be led by your Spirit. So fill me afresh, Lord, so that I'll do that. He says in verse 4, ye shall. Not you could. Well, certainly is there. But if you want real life, you shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in those. Because why? Because I'm the Lord. It's pretty plain and simple. I'm the Lord, so this is what you want to do. If I'm really the Lord of your life, then this is what you want to do. And we can be here this morning and we can be saved because we know Jesus is Lord and Savior, but that doesn't mean that he's our Lord. He may be just our Savior this morning. But what he really wants for you is not only to be your Savior, he wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the Lord of your finances. He wants to be the Lord of your decisions. He wants to be the Lord of your relationships. He wants to be the Lord of where you go and what you do, because he's got what's best for you. Well, Lord, can't I even make any of my own decisions? And we all went through that as teenagers. We all went through that, and we all made dumb mistakes, really obscene mistakes, most of us. But now he's changed us. And he wants to be Lord over us. Not so that he could lord it over us and demand of us to do things, but as a loving father, he brings us into that relationship and says, this is what's best for you. Walk in my ways. Oh, and that's what we should ask for. Lord, change my heart so that I could have that way, so that I don't want my own ways. I want your ways. Oh, and if you really want to go to heaven, which most of us do, right? We want heaven. I'm sure if I said, how many of you want to go to heaven, everybody's hands will go up, because we want heaven. We don't want to go to hell and burn forever. We want to go to heaven. We want to be free of these emotions and things. But then how do we get there? He says, obey me. Trust me. Ooh. Lord, do I trust you? Or do I see what's sparkly and what's good and think that maybe that would be good for me? Because not all it sparkles is good for us. It causes damage, it causes hurt, causes frustration and bitterness. And when we end up having a life that's just completely bitter and hurtful and hard, and we just fall apart because we can't handle it. We have psych hospitals that are full of people who can't handle life because of certain situations in their lives. And we pray for them, we love on them, we speak the word to them, we encourage them. But boy, the longer we stay in a place where we want our own way and want our own things, the more we're tending towards those ways. And we can become so bitter that we just become grumpy old men and grumpy old women. Sorry, ladies. You are going to get old. That's just what happens if we go our own ways. So, Lord, help us to walk in your ways. He says, you're going to do my judgments and my ordinances because I'm the Lord your God. You're going to keep my statutes in verse 5 and my judgments, which if a man do, notice he shall live in them. Do something with those words. Highlight it, underline it. You shall live. If you do these things, you're going to have real life. If you do these things, you're going to have a life that you enjoy, that a life that's good, and a life that's full of blessing. And why? because I am the Lord. There it is again. And that word live in that verse, in verse 5, means to revive or to save life. We can get revived in the goodness of God. He says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother shalt thou not uncover. And we're going to go through these fairly quickly because they're pretty simple and understandable. He says, she is thy mother, and you shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It's your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. You shall not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. You shall not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shall thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shall you take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. So we come to all these things and we see how awful those things are. And the warnings have been all through Scripture, even in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, where we get the commandments. It says in verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. So the Lord warning and the Lord giving warning, and he doesn't give warning just to give warning. He gives warning because that's the tendency of natural man to fall into. Natural man is going to fall into each of these categories. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have to pronounce these things and give out these things to people. But we're going to see something as we go through here, that impurity in a country not only decimates the country, but it destroys families. It destroys trust. And if you can't trust those that are over you, if you can't trust those that are around you, how can you trust God? And it's hard to do that if you've been abused or hurt. And I know so many have been abused and hurt. The stats are now that 1 in 3 women, 1 in 3 girls are going to be abused. 1 in 5 boys are going to be abused. That is awful. But what it does to families is it just breaks them apart. There is no trust. There is no love. There is no real life. It's just going from abuse to abuse and from hurt to hurt and from pain to pain. And they cry out against God, why are you allowing this? And he's going, I'm not allowing it. I want to give you life. I want to give you hope. But it also destroys a country. And folks, I'm thankful we're here. I'm thankful we've got this place to meet, that we still are able to meet here and gather together. But our country's getting destroyed. Look at the laws that we're passing, the laws that are just so awful, and the laws that are before legislatures even now. The laws that we see saying that pedophilia is okay. The laws that are before some legislatures saying that relationships with animals are okay. The awfulness of man's condition is just brought about because of sin. And it doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring joy. It just brings worse sin upon worse sin. And I know this is hard for a lot of folks. It touches home and it hurts. And I'm sorry for that, but God's word is God's word. And he's the one that can bring healing in it. And that's what we look at. That's what we look to. We don't want to bring more hurt. We want less. And this should be a safe place. In God's house should be a safe place. And we want that to happen. But that is up to each and every individual that's in God's house. And he goes through all of these things. And he says, these things are going to be hard for you, but these things are going to be in that place where you need to come out from among them. You need to be separate from those things. Just because the culture does that does not mean that you can do that. Does not mean that you want to do that. It should mean that you want to stay away from those things. You don't have to be like the world. You don't have to dress like the world. You don't have to act like the world. You can be free of those things and just have that relationship with the Lord that'll just bring you into a wonderful place. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." It brings destruction even to the ones that are doing it. An awfulness. And the Lord has warned from Old Testament to New Testament these things that we need to have and these things that we need to look at and see. And he says, this is how dangerous it is that I have to keep repeating it, because it just causes destruction and it causes hurt and pain. And we see how far our country has fallen apart. Over half the kids, over half, I think it's closer to 60% now, are living without a father or a mother. It's hard, and it didn't have to be. But because of sin, we've just entered into those places where we divorce, we get rid of things that are a burden to us. We're going to see that later, that even the parents offering their kids to Molech to be burned alive because they didn't want the condition of having a baby around. Kind of sounds like America. We've entered into those places. Our country should be judged, and I do believe that our country is under judgment. We just haven't seen the fullness of the results of that yet. Because we know in Scripture, with times being so close to the end, we know that America is not mentioned in Scripture in the end times. So what happens to us? Are we completely under judgment so that we have absolutely nothing? Don't know. But what I do know is, God, your judgments are always right. And if you want to judge America, we should be judged. And he's faithful to do those things, because he doesn't want anything unholy before him. And we should want nothing unholy before our own lives. So Lord, help us with it. So he goes on, and he says in verse 21 then, "And you shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech." So we've gone through all this other stuff, and now we come to the children. And this Molech was a god, an Ammonite god, and he was there. And what they would do is they would heat this god up. And I'm sorry to even bring this up, but this is what we do in the world. They would heat this god up because there wasn't abortion in those days, as there is now, where it would be taken care of a little easier. But they would heat this god up and take the babies, and they would place the baby in the arms of this god called Molech, and the baby would be burned alive. Meanwhile, they're having a worship service outside of it so that they wouldn't hear the baby's screams, saying it's okay. And it's not okay to God. And we need to turn from these ways. In all these ways, we need to turn. This is just one example of the things that are going on, but this is where we are in Scripture, so this is what we deal with, because we go line by line, verse by verse. So these are the things we deal with, just to show us the warnings, just to show us God's heart, because we see God's heart in this. God loves families. God loves kids. He doesn't want them killed. He doesn't want them hurt. The enemy does that. And yet we fall into that trap. And if you're not serving Jesus this morning, you're serving Satan. You're serving yourself. And it's just going to bring destruction. But we see what it does to a country. Impurity always goes hand in hand with unfaithfulness to God, and it always brings about a destruction of the nation. And we see what these laws that we're passing are doing. We see what these things are that they're trying to push through are doing. They're destroying our country. They're destroying our nation. And they're also destroying us. And we're going to be casualties as part of it if destruction comes upon this country. But God says in 1 Chronicles, "What if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray? Then I'll come and heal their land." And Lord, we're crying out, Lord, heal our land, heal our people. But we don't see that healing coming, do we? We see more and more devastation in our nation, more and more awfulness that comes about. He says in verse 22, "You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination." He tells us that in the New Testament too. It's amazing that we still think that the Bible doesn't speak about it, but in chapter 1 of Romans in verse 27, It says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust towards one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. This is what they wanted, this is what they get. And it's changed so much. I never thought in my lifetime we'd be at a place where we didn't know if we were male or female, that we would have people with PhDs who can't tell Congress what a woman is or what a man is. Really? You've gone through 120 years of school and you don't know what a woman or a man is yet? But in the beginning in Genesis, God said, I created them male and female. God made it real simple. We're just confusing things. And that confusion only comes from one place, because God is not a God of confusion. Confusion comes from the enemy. And he has confused the whole world. In verse 23, as we go on, and again, forgive me because this is hard portions, but neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And do something with that word, because that's what the enemy brings. It's confusion. It's not right. It's not what God has ordained. It's wrong. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in these the nations that are defiled, which I cast out before you. The nations that you're going in to inhabit, these are why these nations are getting kicked out of the land, and I'm giving you this land, Israel. It is Israel's land, and it's God's land that he's given Israel, and Israel has every right to be in the land. It is not Palestine, it is God's land. And he has every right to give it to whom he says he wants to give it to. And he says, I'm giving it to Israel because they're my people. They're not perfect. They're not always doing right, but they're God's people. And he says, I want this to be. So don't do those things that they did just because you go into their land. I'm giving you this land to be different. And he's given us these natural bodies to be different than the people of the world. We don't have to act like the world or dress like the world. We can be different, and it's okay. And I don't know about you. I don't need to please those that are around me. I want to please God. And the more I'm pleasing everybody else, the less I'm pleasing God, because I'm not looking for his approval. I'm looking for their approval. And so verses 24 to 30, as we finish up this chapter, are just why not to do it. Really, I'm so thankful for the Lord, because he not only tells us what not to do, but he tells us why. And it's great, because we don't have to read into it. We don't have to add to it. We can just read it and know what he says. So verse 24, again, defile not yourselves in any of these things. And that's what we do. When you enter into any of those things, you're defiling yourself. You're defiling your family. You're defiling those that you're with. You're just defiling everything and making it dirty. Oh. For in all of these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And that's always going to be the end result of your defiling of yourself, is that you're going to be cast out. You're going to be an outcast from God's presence. People won't even care what you look like or what you dress like, because they don't want you. And the land is defiled. So not only does it affect our own lives and our families' lives, in those that we're with, it affects the country, it affects the land that we're in. And that's what sin does. That's why we need a Savior, because we're dirty and we need to get cleansed. We need to get saved. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. They get pushed, they get dispersed to other countries. That's what happened to Israel so many times in their history. As they were in the land, they started picking up on these false gods, because remember, impurity always walks hand in hand with idolatry. And as they entered into those things, the land vomited them out, and they got moved to other countries where they didn't know the language. Daniel and the others, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon, where they didn't know the language. Joseph in Egypt, where he didn't know the language, didn't know the culture, because they were dispersed, because they were pushed out, because of defilement in the land. I don't know about you. I'm not looking to go to New Guinea to find out that I don't belong there, that I have no idea what's going on there, that I have no idea what the language is saying. I don't want to get dispersed. And aren't you so thankful that we do have one land where we will never get dispersed? And that's heaven. We may get thrown out of this country and pushed into other countries where we're just used as slaves and used as workhorses and all of those things, but in heaven, it's never going to be that way. That's one of the things that makes heaven so wonderful and so such a hope for us. The land's defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land will vomit out her inhabitants. And you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. Look at what God says about them. He says they're not only sin, they're abomination. Ugh. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you, for all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew you not out also when you defile it, as it is spewed out of the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourselves therein. He's interested in your life. He's interested in who you are. And he doesn't want to see you grab a hold of something that is awful and ugly and dirty. He wants you to grab a hold of that which is good. And he says, why? Because I am the Lord your God. So, Lord, if you're really my Lord, then I don't want to grab a hold of any of these things. So we get to see kind of the heart of God in the midst of these hard chapters, that we see that he's trying to protect his people and keep his people pure and holy and righteous. Not to be goody-two-shoes. We don't need to be goody-two-shoes, and for most of us, we don't have to worry about it because we're not. But he just wants us free from sin so that we don't get the diseases that sin brings, so that we don't get the hurt and the bitterness and the pain that sin brings. And I had enough sin. I got saved late in life. I didn't get saved till I was 32. I've got sin that reminds itself to me all the time. Got kids that I had before I got saved, and I see the hurt that I brought them, and it bothers me. And it's a constant reminder of what sin did. But thank goodness for forgiveness. Thank goodness for hope. Thank goodness for Jesus, because otherwise I'd drive myself crazy, because that's what sin does. It brings confusion, and you can never go in a right direction when you're confused. You can never have a right heart when you're confused, because you're double-minded and you're double-hearted and you don't know the way to go. But thank goodness Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man come unto me, I'm going to grab a hold of him, and I'm going to love him, and I'm going to kiss him, and I'm going to hug him, and I'm going to have what's right for them. Oh, thank you, Lord, for his hope and for his finished work. We're going to take communion, and just to remind us of what Jesus has done for us, because most of us came out of those lives where sin was rampant, and we're trying to walk in the right way and trying to go in the right direction. And just to remind us that his body was broken, his blood was poured out so that we could have real life. But we need to know him, and we need to listen to his commandments. We need to listen to what his word says. We don't always have those hearts that want to listen to him. Remember when you were kids and your parents were the dumbest things in the world? You're 15, you're 16, and you know more than your parents have ever learned. And then all of a sudden you turn 30 and you go, hey, my parents weren't so dumb. They were trying to do what was right. And they were trying to teach me. I was the one that was dumb. I went the wrong way. But thank goodness for forgiveness, huh? Because if there was no forgiveness, if there was no blood covering, we'd have to live with our sin for eternity. And that guilt would eat us alive and destroy us. Without Jesus, there is no hope. I had come a place in my life just before I got saved where there was no hope. I was just ready to get rid of everything because I had no hope. There was nothing left. I had burned so many bridges. I had hurt so many people. I had committed so many things that were ugly and awful. And he came in and he loved me anyway. Even though I was dirty, filthy, I was like the prodigal coming back, eating pig slop, having a corn husk sticking out of my mouth and hay in my hair and dirt all over me and smelling like a pig. And he loved me. And he gave me new clothes, and he gave me a new heart, and he gave me new vision, and he put a ring on my finger, and put his name on my forehead and sealed me for eternity as his. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, that you would just speak to us, that you'd minister to our hearts and our lives the things that you've spoken to us today, Lord. We know they were hard things, and yet, Lord, those are things that are in the world, and we see them, and we get sometimes disgusted at them. Sometimes we remember that we were part of that once upon a time, that we were doing those things. But, Father, the forgiveness washes us clean. You're not going to remember those things. The enemy constantly reminds us, but you constantly tell us that we're yours and that you love us and you have a better way for us. So, Father, remind us of what you've done, the price that you paid so that we could be free of those things. And help us with those things, Lord. Come in to us, refresh us, strengthen us, restore what the enemy has taken from us, Lord, so that we can have real life in this world as we wait for your soon return. We just give you thanks for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father, we just come this morning. We're just so thankful, Lord, of what you've done for us and what you've shown us. And, Father, that you continue to teach us. You continue to show us your heart, your ways. You continue to show us that even though sin is present, you love us and that you want to cover those sins, that you want to bring forgiveness to hearts. And, Father, we're so thankful for these tokens that remind us of that great love that you, who was sinless, came and paid a price that we couldn't pay on the cross, that it was your pure, holy, precious blood that was shed to cover our sins. It tells us in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no taking away of that sin. But, Father, because you've come and you've shed that blood, we now have that hope, we have that sureness that sin has been covered with your holy blood, and you're going to remember it no more. And Father, we hold in our hands this bread, just speaking of your body that was broken. We see the piercings in the bread, just showing us that your body was pierced for us, Lord, your hands, your feet, your side. We hold this cup just reminding us of that precious blood that you poured out to pay the price for us, because we couldn't pay that price. There was no way we could get to heaven without your covering. And Father, thank you for the way that you've made for us, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. So Father, lead us in truth, and thank you for the forgiveness that we have in you. We love you and we thank you, Lord, and we take these now in remembrance of you. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.